You are listening to CRR Radio from the Vision 2020 Project. Hi, my name is Ed Kamau from the Vision 2020 Project. In this episode of CRR Radio, we continue our conversation with Martin Ward-White from the West Midlands Fire Service over in the UK, talking about integrated risk management. What's a typical day of a firefighter or engine company when it comes to doing integrated risk management?
Okay, well, this can be a whole range of things. So, what's worth probably bearing in mind now in the fire service is whilst, you know, the traditional 2 days, two nights and 4 days off still present, our crews and our individuals work, you know, a whole range of shift systems now. You know, our shift system is very flexible. So some firefighters may still work the 2 days, two nights, but some firefighters may, what we call the late shift, will work an alternative shift pattern. So it would be 10 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. Now, that in itself has a, you know, risk-based approach or rationale behind it. Because what we do is we have the maximum number of people and resources on the run when not only demand for our response services is highest, but also demand for our prevention and protection activities. So a typical day for a firefighter will be to come onto station, and we still have the old traditions. You know, we'll parade in the morning to make sure everyone's there and that everybody's aware of what riding position they're riding. But then in terms of their day, you know, there's a whole range of, you know, prevention activities that they will be doing, either protection activities as well, which is, when we talk about protection, what we talk about is more businesses. So we go in and we not only enforce fire safety regulation, but we also act in more of a coaching way for businesses. So where they're maybe not meeting fire standards, providing obviously it's not too severe, we act in a coaching way to sort of reverse that. And we find that that's highly effective because most of the time when people fall foul of a fire inspection in a business, for instance, it's not because they intend to. It's just, you know, an oversight. So instead of coming down hard on them, we first seek to work with them to improve safety. Now, our firefighters do that with support from specialist officers in our headquarters as well. Another section of the day could be delivering schools programs, road traffic collision prevention courses, you know, youth offending courses to youths who are in our criminal justice system or thereabouts, who, you know, the criminal courts will say, well, actually, there's a chance that we can turn these individuals around because of their age. So instead of putting them through custody and through youth offending sort of complexes, we actually work with them to sort of try and make them turn their way. So firefighters could be engaged with that. We also train a lot. You know, our chief fire officer prides our workforce on providing an excellent service, whether it's responding to incidents, carrying out prevention activities, or liaising with partners or businesses. So we train, and this can be, you know, both physical training to make sure that, you know, we're fit and able and we've got a workforce that's able to respond. But also as well, we will train in specific disciplines. So it could be RTCs, road traffic collision training, fire training, hazardous material training. And this is all informed by our risk management process. So for instance, if we can identify that firefighters are getting less exposure, for instance, to hazardous material incidents, we can put that out through what we call our organisational intelligence work streams, which filters down to station, which then actually means that, you know, crews can receive the training to ensure that, you know, when that job does come in, that when that response is required to a hazardous material incident, for instance, they're fully prepared for it. So it's all intelligence driven, and then we underpin that through firefighters who then, it tends to be on the weekends, but it can occur at any time, participating in exercises. So these are training exercises. So the way we work is training on station is designed to input knowledge and experience into the firefighters, And then our exercise program is designed, because it's service-wide, to really test it in a realistic environment. So one day they can be tested, you know, on various incident types.
Do you have a structured process for updating your integrated risk management plan?
Absolutely. So one of the other areas that I probably failed to mention was our site-specific risk information program, where we identify the highest risk sites in the West Midlands. Now, this is done not only centrally in headquarters through plotting risk factors and saying, right, well, this location, you know, is a higher risk than anywhere else, because actually, you know, it deals with chemical production, etc. But it's also driven on the ground by local knowledge through crews. So, for instance, a lot of the information, risk information we get in through this program is from operational crews who have noticed something on their station area and will set up sort of a tour of that site, where they will gather information, collect it up in a structured way. They'll put in place familiarisation visits for all the other watches on station to ensure that if an incident was to occur there, there's that local knowledge to be able to deal with it assertively, effectively and safely as well. Now, we don't just confine that to the local station. We hold that now on centralised systems. Now, all of our fire engines and brigade response vehicles have onboard computers, basically. And what this does is it allows us not only to obviously mobilise the vehicles when they're driving, doing out duties, but also allows us, or allows the incident commander en route to an incident, to access all the information possible on that site en route. So it's delivering information, risk critical information, to incident commanders at the point and time of need it's required. And because everybody across the organisation or the service will have access to that, what that means is that, you know, you could be a crew standing by at a station, you know, the other side of the service area, but you would still have access to the same risk information that the local station would. Now, the benefits of that as well is, because it's a structured approach, we can do regular reviews on that, and we can also make sure that crews in the local area go and visit. Now, from a strategic perspective, when that comes into me, what it allows me to do is plot and map, when we do our area risk mapping, where all our highest risk sites are, and that then informs our integrated risk management planning. Not so much in terms of the location of fire engines, because what we actually find with these higher risk sites is that although the severity of an incident might be higher if one was to occur there, actually the likelihood of a fire occurring there is actually far less, because they're governed by regulations in many cases. But what it does do is it helps decisions around specialist units. So, for instance, our hydraulic platform, which, you know, is almost a cherry picker that we can deliver water at height. I'm not sure what the term would be in America, but it allows us to position these units and our foam units, our rope rescue and technical rescue teams, closer to more specialised sort of responses, where the specialised response is more likely than not going to be required.
What's the reaction of the community to your integrated risk management programs?
You know, in terms of the reaction of the community, I think the best way to sum it up is fire service can be seen, you know, in the UK and certainly in the West Midlands, almost as a blue chip company, if that would be the right term. You know, it's a safe and trusted service in our communities. You know, we, as a fire service, West Midlands Fire Service, is very transparent. Now, whilst traditionally a lot of our risk management was done solely behind closed doors, you know, West Midlands Fire Service now publishes its data sets openly, which means members of the public, businesses and partners can now review our risk analysis through our online interactive tool called the Community Safety Strategy, which is on our website. Now, this allows risk to be viewed on a map to show geographical areas of interest, you know, and also for members of the public to see patterns and correlations for our response and prevention activities. You know, and because partners are able to access the community safety strategy free of charge along with members of the public, you know, that access to information can inform their own priorities and also add relevance to the work they do as well. And what this has done, this transparency, which even has been commented on, you know, within officials within government, has built up high levels of trust in our community, you know, which makes our brand as a fire service really strong. And therefore, it's well received in the community, allowing us really to reach difficult sections of the community, which other public services actually find it really hard to reach. You know, and that's been a real success story for the fire service. I also think as well is our mentality is to sort of deliver results and deliver outcomes and real positive outcomes for our community. So, for instance, many of the people we come across in the community, you know, are some of the people who, you know, are most in need of help and support. So when the fire service comes along and we provide that help and support, then, you know, that's only going to be positive for us. Fortunately, and touch wood, it remains this way, you know, the fire service don't get as much of a problem as other services like the ambulance service or the police in terms of, you know, abuse or attacks on its crews. So our public is very accepting of us.
What you're doing in West Midlands, are other fire brigades doing something similar across the country?
Similar, but not the same. I mean, we consider ourselves almost, you know, a bit of an outlier in the sense that, but that's in a positive way, in the sense that the way we deliver our services is becoming less common now across the fire service as a whole. And part of that potentially has been, you know, the reduction in personnel across the country and in other fire and rescue services, due to, you know, budget reductions over the last decade, which has seen people or services have their budgets reduced. Now, in the West Midlands, one of the unique things about us is the fact that not only are all of our firefighters full-time firefighters, which allows us a greater range of flexibility to deliver all these services, but we're also actually now embracing public service reform and adopting things which 10 years ago you would never have dreamed we would be doing. So, for instance, I guess when your budget reduces, there's a number of approaches you can take to that. You can either cut services, you can either reform your services, or in our case, what we've done, you know, on top of reforming our services is actively sought for opportunities to deliver services through commissioned activities where we receive money from other partners to deliver services which they want us to deliver. And what that has meant is that we've been able to supplement our budget and thereby basically ensuring that our service delivery model can be maintained as a result of that. Now, that is unique in the fire service in the UK. It's an emerging area of work. We've only been doing it the last couple of years. But what we've recognised through our strategic planning is that unless we find ways of bringing extra money in through alternative flexible funding streams, we would not be able to sustain the service model we do. And that's been key in terms of getting our firefighters on board with that, which we have, because obviously they recognise that actually if we cannot get commissioned activities or if we cannot generate our own income, then that will result in potentially fire stations closing and job losses as well.
Now that's an interesting concept that you're talking about, commissioned activities. Do you have some specific examples?
Okay, so one would be this falls response. So I think, first of all, what I would say about this commissioned activities is it's more around recycling public money. So, for instance, if you're, you know, a falls response provider or you're a local authority that requires to commission a group to deliver a falls response service, you know, you can go to the private sector and you'll get a quote. But what we can do is deliver that service for a, you know, almost cost recovery basis and integrate it within our normal activities as well. So what we're not doing is making a profit, if that makes sense. And, you know, what I'm trying to get across there is it's not like privatisation where the name of the game is to make as much money as possible, which then gets distributed between individuals who work within that company. When we talk about commissioning, what we're talking about is delivering services or certain services, you know, potentially more focused in health, for the health sector, where we recoup the cost of doing so, which then is invested or reinvested back into our service delivery model. Now, because of that, it keeps public money within the public service, so it doesn't go out of the public service. And that's why it's been sort of, I think, highly effective and something that is starting to now really pick up some speed. You know, initially we delivered falls response in one area of the West Midlands. We're now increasing that potentially up to four in the coming weeks or months. And as a result of that, you know, that income will support our service delivery model.
Are there other things you are doing when it comes to integrated risk management that we might be interested in here in the United States?
Well, I think the you know, the setup, without knowing, you know, in depth the setup over in America, for me the key thing for West Midlands Fire Service is collaboration and partnerships. You know, you can deliver more for less, if that makes sense. But the only way that really is achievable is working closely with partners, you know, to deliver joint outcomes. So, you know, instead of the fire service or the fire department working in isolation, it needs to actually understand who it's, you know, who the people who are most at risk are, and then identify the other public services where those individuals draw resources from. And as a result of that, you know, working with those other agencies to drive down that demand. And personally, I believe that, you know, certainly in developed countries, you know, like our own, that's a concept for me that would probably work anywhere, you know, in the sense that my belief would be that somebody in America who shares the same risk factors as what we consider in the UK are probably the same people that feature on all the different public services, you know, and as a result of that, you know, it's those partnerships and collaboration that will help reduce that. So an example I would give is unemployment. How I translate that as an integrated risk manager is, well, actually in the UK, the long-term unemployed are actually higher risk of fire and other emergency incidents. So how I would interpret that if I was in the fire service over there would be, well, that's a good thing in the sense that by getting people into work, immediately their risk of suffering an incident or needing to, you know, draw resources from the public services, you know, potentially could decrease. Now, obviously, that's speculation in America because I don't have access to your sort of data, but in the UK, that's certainly our thinking, which is why, you know, we work with job centres around how we can get people back into work opposed to keeping them out of it. But also as well, it works from a financial perspective. So our chief fire officer, for instance, is heavily involved in public service reform in the West Midlands. Now, what that's looking at is, you know, every time someone needs to dial 999 or, you know, in your case, 911, or every time they have to rely on benefits or the health system, that's a cost to society. So the name of the game really is reducing the need for that person to access public services, which costs the public taxpayer. So what we're looking at in the West Midlands as part of, you know, the public service reform agenda is, well, actually, how can we reduce that demand on public services, and then with the savings, invest them in public services to not only transform but also modernise. And I think that is a model that potentially could work, certainly in any developed country across the world.
Well, Martin, I must admit that I'm very impressed with what you're doing when it comes to integrated risk management in West Midlands. And there certainly is a lot that we can learn from your efforts. Thanks for sharing what you're doing with us.
No problem, Ed. No problem.
We've been talking with Martin Ward-White, a group commander with the West Midlands Fire and Rescue Service, about integrated risk management and what we might learn from what they're doing in the UK to help our CR efforts in the United States. Thanks for joining us, Martin.
No, thank you for the invitation.
To learn more about Community Risk Reduction and the Vision 2020 project, be sure to visit us at www.strategicfire.org, and thanks for listening.